Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
With Barack Obama, we will close the book on the old politics of race against race, gender against gender, ethnic group against ethnic group, and straight against gay.
And there is Senator Ted Kennedy, of course, from last year's Democratic Convention. We are taking your eulogies for Ted Kennedy on our webpage, and we'll talk about him on the air throughout the morning, of course. What was Ted Kennedy's greatest accomplishment, in your opinion? Post it to WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show, and we'll get to those on the air in just a little bit. But first, there is other stuff going on today, and tonight at 7 o'clock is the first official mayoral debate of this election year in New York City. It's between the two candidates vying for the Democratic nomination to run against Mayor Bloomberg. They are New York City Comptroller William Thompson and City Councilman Tony Avella of Queens. I will be one of the questioners tonight, as we will air that debate live on AM 820 and WNYC.org. It'll also be on TV on New York One and is also co-sponsored by the Daily News. Daily News columnist Errol Lewis will also be a questioner, and he joins me now, and we will also talk some about Governor Patterson's statement on Errol's radio show last week that media racism is a reason for the governor's low popularity. Hi there, Errol.
Good morning. Good morning. Welcome. I mean, I can't believe what these studios look like. Back in my old guest host days, a much less advanced setup. Let's put it that way. Let's be diplomatic about it.
Before you got your own radio show on WWRL, yes, Errol Lewis was a frequent guest host of this program, as many of you will recall, and this is his first time back and first time since we moved into 160 Varick Street a year ago June. So, Errol, great to have you back on the air. And on this occasion of the mayoral debate tonight that we're both going to be in, but let's begin with this Governor Patterson news originally made on your WWRL morning show. Here is part of that exchange. The governor very clear in what he is saying right here about his low popularity.
I submit that the same kind of treatment that DeVal Patrick is receiving right now in Massachusetts, and I'm receiving the way in which the New York State Senate was written about, calling them a bunch of people with thick necks. They're talking about Malcolm Smith and John Sampson, that we're not in the post-racial period. And the reality is that the next victim on the list, and you see it coming, is President Barack Obama, who did nothing more than try to reform a health care system.
So David Patterson, the governor, with Errol Lewis last Friday. And Errol, what was the context there? How did that come up?
Well, you know, it's funny. It's a good question. We actually were not doing a formal interview. On Fridays, we do what we call Freestyle Friday, and people can call in and talk about whatever they like. I got the word that the governor was on the line, and he's a friend of our show, and he comes on whenever we would like him to. And when he came on, he went down this path, and I couldn't stop him. I couldn't divert him.
Did you want to stop him?
Well, I wanted to go to a commercial break. It's not something you have to worry about here, but it was time, and I wasn't sure what he was getting at, frankly. He was running counter to something that I'd said and something I do believe and have written about frequently, which is that governors all over the country are very unpopular. John Corzine over in New Jersey, Sarah Palin was having such a hard time she walked out of her job. The governor of Florida, another Republican running for Senate rather than finishing out his term. On and on and on it goes. Tim Pawlenty up in Minnesota. It's a tough time to be a governor.
Tough economic times, times when they have to either cut services or raise taxes or both. Very tough to be governor.
Right. So I thought that was really the source of his problems. I also thought that assign it to race, to ascribe it to race. He had a point. He was talking about a particular newspaper column that I thought was both irresponsible and borderline biased. That was in the New York Post. I mean, that he was talking about people with thick necks walking around the Capitol. It was just a horrible column. It's not
that
even
was
worth
the thick neck. Now, is that a classic kind of, you know, anti-black stereotype? Where does the thick neck thing come from?
You know, it's you'd have to read the whole shabby column to see the full context. But what the columnist was saying in that particular instance was that for many, many years, when the state Senate was under the control of the Republicans, they had looked for people of color to elevate to senior staff, and they had tried so hard to get people of color to run as Republicans for state Senate seats around the state. A version of history, by the way, that is mysterious at best to those of us who have been following politics for the last 25 years. And along the way, he said, this columnist, that that now that the Democrats were in control and that Malcolm Smith and that John Sampson were there, they're walking around with thick-necked bodyguards and the quality of the place has gone down and all kinds of really disparaging things that had nothing to do with the issues at hand. And so the governor was rightly, I think, offended. He rightfully, in that case of that one column, perceived some bias.
But, of course, it went way beyond that. And, of course, it's not news that a Daily News columnist would come on and criticize a New York Post column, but we will leave that there. But, seriously, I was shocked that the governor specifically and by name went after New York One anchor Dominic Carter, the African-American host of the New York One program Road to City Hall, who will also be the moderator of tonight's mayoral debate. You and I both know Dominic and his work for a long time. We both go on his television show regularly. Mm-hmm. And of all people to go after in New York media as somehow pandering to anti-black sentiment, Dominic would seem to me a very bizarre choice. What did the governor actually say?
Well, what the governor said in that case was that there are some black political journalists, which I thought was kind of funny because I don't know of very many, frankly. I don't think I could get past six if I tried to count them all in this town. That's a whole other discussion. But he said that there were some black political journalists out there who, in order to curry favor with their superiors, go around bashing black politicians. And then he said Dominic Carter by name. And it wasn't fair. It wasn't logical, frankly. But what happened was the night before, and unbeknownst to me, because as the morning man on a radio show, I go to bed well before 10 o'clock, which is would have been the earliest I could have caught it. It turns out that Dominic Carter had, along with other members of the media, questioned some vacation partying that the governor seemed to be doing. He turned up in the newspaper on the gossip page, I think, at a party. And so the allegation was that, gee, you're out with your underage daughter. Well, first of all, his daughter wasn't underage. Second of all,
She's
21. They weren't out all that late. It wasn't 1 o'clock in the morning, as had been reported. And it was a party for a 50-year-old staff member or supporter of the governor. So it was about as innocent as it gets, frankly. And I think a lot of his frustration at tough media coverage he's gotten, some of it fair, some of it not fair, really just spilled over, and he aimed it all at Dominic, which was about as unfair of a charge as he could make.
So yesterday, the governor sort of backtracked, and not about Dominic in particular, but about this whole issue of race and racism in the media being responsible for his lack of popularity. Here he is speaking to a group of reporters in Stony Brook on Long Island.
My remarks never say that there was a race element at all. What I did talk about was some negative racial stereotyping.
So what was the governor trying to do yesterday, and did he accomplish it?
Well, he was trying to split a hair, and, you know, it wasn't worth trying to split. I mean, I think I understand what he was saying, which was that he wasn't trying to ascribe all of his political problems to race or to bias, but he was saying that some of the unfair coverage that he's gotten included elements of stereotyping and racial bias. And it made perfect sense to me, but I can barely explain it to you here. I thought it was very unwise of him to try and do that. And in fact, he came on the show this morning. I found out about it when reporters...
Did you call him or did he call you today?
Honest to God, they called my producer and I was out working at City Hall and some other reporters said, oh, hey, you got a great interview for tomorrow. And I said, oh, I do? And so he wanted to come on to end the controversy where it began.
So that was this morning on your show?
Yes, at 8 o'clock. And he gave an apology that was pretty complete, pretty forthright, said he didn't mean to suggest things that people were reading into it and that he knows it's unwise to attack the bias in the press. He just gets tired of it sometimes. But he apologized for spreading all kinds of things that he didn't mean to. It wasn't a personal apology to Dominic Carter, by the way.
Did he mention Dominic by name?
He did not, and I didn't think it was appropriate for me to press him on that. You know, Mayor Dinkins, former Mayor Dinkins, has offered to host a beer summit for the three of them. He carefully, I think, included himself. I probably should try and get an invite to that one to try and settle all of this and put it finally to bed. Although I must tell you, during the interview this morning, I had to kind of cut the governor off because he— gave this full apology, and then he started to explain why he was giving it. And I was like, no, that's not how you do an apology. Once you've apologized, let's move on.
Let it sit.
And I did that just because I there were some pressing state issues I did want to interview him about.
Daily news columnist and WWRL morning host Errol Lewis, my guest on WNYC. And all right, let's go on to tonight's mayoral debate, 7 p.m. We will both be questioners. The sponsors are WNYC, The Daily News, and New York One. Dominic Carter will moderate. You and I will be among the questioners, as I said. It'll be live at 7. And, folks, here are the various places you could catch it. I'm not just going to tell you our own. You can see it on television on New York One. You can see it on the Daily News website. And hear it here on AM 820 and WNYC.org. Now, this debate, by way of context, is between the only two Democratic primary candidates, William Thompson, the city controller, and Queens City Councilman Tony Avella. They are required by law to participate because they are taking public matching funds. But, Errol, why is the field so thin? I mean, Democratic mayoral primaries, as you know, usually bring out all the big-name hope-to-bes and wannabes.
Well, sure. Congressman Weiner had a very active effort that was in motion. City Council President Christine Quinn was thinking about it. I'm sure there were others who were thinking about it as well. Everybody got scared away by the mayor's money, and it's just that simple. The mayor, specifically, not just the fact that he has it, not just the fact that he can buy lots of ads, which he certainly has been doing, but the fact that he bought up a lot of the political consulting talent, and he certainly did. I mean, it's almost like a full employment bill for political consultants. You've got, I could name, half a dozen people who normally would be working, and specifically the top aides who had worked for Anthony Weiner, for Hillary Clinton, for Bill Thompson, for that matter. So he sucked a lot of the energy out of the room, a lot of the oxygen out of the room, a lot of the talent, and he made known that he would not be hesitant when it came to spending. So a lot of people sized up the situation, let discretion be the better part of valor, and have decided that maybe 2012 will be, or 2013, I guess, or whatever the next election might be,
is going to be
their time.
I guess so. Anthony Weiner, considered a front runner, not running, among others. But hardly anyone except political junkies and residents of Bayside, Queens, have heard of Tony Avella. That's the district that he represents in council. So who is he? Why is he, of all the Democrats in the city, taking on this unlikely moment to try to run against Mayor Bloomberg and to challenge Controller Bill Thompson for the chance to run against the mayor?
Well, you know, I don't know how it's going to all work out for Tony Avella, but he does have the profile of somebody who could, in fact, run against the mayor or score points against the mayor. He's an outer borough Catholic. He's a guy who is in a district and has been in a district that was previously occupied by a Republican. So it is, by definition, one of the most conservative districts in the city. And he has steered a very fiscally conservative course. And so if there's an argument to be made against this mayor, it's that the outer boroughs have been neglected, that the spending has been out of control, that reforms are needed to the basic operation of government, and that there needs to be more inclusiveness. And so when Tony Avella launched his last mayoral campaign 4 years ago, because he very briefly did, a lot of people don't remember that, I happened to be there the day that he launched it, and it was in front of a shuttered firehouse in Williamsburg, Brooklyn. And that's been who he is, both as a council member and as a candidate, that he's the guy from the outer boroughs trying to remind people that making the city into Manhattan plus the people who commute into Manhattan is really not a future that many New Yorkers should look forward to or should support. And it's the same case that Anthony Weiner, in his own way, was making.
As a, quote, outer borough candidate. So what are you expecting in tonight's debate? Traditionally, the little-known underdog would come out slamming the bigger guy in order to try to land some punches and make an impression on the public and maybe get some news coverage. Are you expecting exactly that?
Well, I think under your scintillating questions, under the tight grilling by you and the other members of the panel,
I think
we may see a fight break out. In all seriousness, it's very possible. Frankly, I've seen both of them in forums before, not going head-to-head in a debate format, but speaking while the other was in the room, addressing, in one case, a group of union members, in another case, a group of civil service employees. And they don't have a lot to criticize each other about, frankly. There are some issues where they do differ. And if they're going to draw out those differences, we will hear it tonight, I think, because it's when they're standing together. It's when they can ask each other questions I think you start to see some of the contrast.
Before you go, do you want to say anything about Edward Kennedy? We're going to talk to a biographer of the late senator in just a minute, but I know you've been talking on the radio all morning, on this morning that Senator Edward Kennedy has died. I'm sure you have thoughts as a journalist, as a commentator, as an American.
Well, you know, I met him once. When I started at Harvard in 1980, he was in the concluding phases of his campaign for president. And it was an interesting time. He was a national figure. All eyes were on him. And I met him. He met a bunch of students who were connected with the John F. Kennedy School of Government, which is named, of course, after his brother. And that was an interesting time to have met him. That's the Ted Kennedy that I think of. That last minute to minute and a half. If you don't have it, I'm sure you'll have it by the end of the show. The last minute to minute and a half of his speech to the Democratic National Convention in 1980, right here at Madison Square Garden.
You've already given away the end of the show. We're actually going to close the show with that minute and a half.
It's as good as it gets, and it is very properly listed in the moments of great political oratory alongside the best speeches by John F. Kennedy, Franklin Roosevelt, Martin Luther King. It's scintillating. I think that for all of us, that the retrospective on his life we're about to embark on is going to really be like a retrospective or an analysis of or a remembrance of or a study of liberalism, American liberalism over the last 50 years, because he's it. 47 years in the Senate. I mean, it almost perfectly coincides with the last half century of American political liberalism.
Errol Lewis, Daily News columnist, WWRL morning host, co-questioner along with me and others in the first Democratic mayoral primary debate tonight at 7 o'clock, live here on AM 820 and WNYC.org, also New York One and the Daily News website. Errol, thanks a lot for coming in. I'll see you tonight.
See you at the lightning round.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. And coming up in a minute, we will hear other clips from the life of Senator Kennedy and talk to one of his biographers, Donna Coyne. Stay with us, and we'll take your phone calls on the question, what was Ed Kennedy's legacy for you? What was his biggest accomplishment for you? You can start calling us right now at 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692 on Ted Kennedy.